the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. It is the 80th anniversary of D-Day. And we're going to be talking about that later on in the program. You know, it's amazing when you look back at the greatest generation, and for many of us in the crowd, it's our grandfathers and our great uncles were a part of the generation, the greatest generation that sacrificed themselves so that all of us could get confused about our pronouns. When you look at the kind of young men, and I would say young women, but predominantly those who fought, overwhelmingly men. Women also served. Women also went to work in the factories around America, building planes and bombs and Rosie the Riveter. Amazing stories coming out of that generation of American people. And you step back for a moment and you look at the caliber of men and women that were being raised on American soil, and you do have to ask yourself, are we raising those kinds of kids today? Is today's generation, are they capable of being that greatest generation? Will this generation rise up to the challenge if it is presented before us? And I ask this question because right now, even as you and I are speaking here, NATO is coming up with plans to funnel thousands of American soldiers to the front lines of what could eventually be World War III. And I'm just wondering, based on what you have seen out there, and we have a lot of military veterans, we have a lot of people serving in the military right now, we have a lot of moms and dads of people that are serving in the military, and I'm just curious, are you confident that this generation could win a war? Do we have the skill set? And it's not a matter of knowing how to use a weapon. This is a matter of culture, of mentality. This idea of sacrificing yourself for a greater cause. And when you look at the generation of our grandparents, that is an unusual generation of Americans, men and women who put it all on the line so that we could live in a free country. And you think about what would have happened had D-Day failed. What would that have looked like? And it's very clear to me that beyond a shadow of a doubt, you would have had a situation where England would have been overrun, that Churchill and perhaps the royal family would have had to evacuate to Canada, which, by the way, was an early recommendation from the prime minister. But the King of England said, no, we're not going to do that. King George said, nope, we're staying put. They actually bombed the palace. And fortunately, the royal family escaped injury and harm, but they stayed put and generated a lot of great respect and admiration and adoration as a result of them. Do we have those kinds of people in our society now? Today, I would say maybe that would be the anomaly. I mean, when you look at who we have become over the years, going through the sexual revolution of the 1960s and 70s, whatever happened in the 1980s, we're still trying to figure out Generation X. But I'm just wondering, ladies and gentlemen, Generation Z, will we look back on that generation as a great generation, as we did the 1940s? I mean, the level of suffering that generation had to go through, not just World War II, but all of those folks grew up during the Great Depression. I mean, you talk about the economy being in the toilet. I mean, these were desperate times in America. So I'm just curious, 901-260-5926, what is the state of Generation Z? What is the state of the millennial generation? You know, we saw a lot of that. And again, it's there. And we saw this right after 9/11 when the Muslims flew the jetliners into the buildings and waged jihad in the name of their religion of peace on American soil. We saw that sort of mentality of stopping what you're doing. Let's say, how many stories have we heard over the years of men who are working in office buildings? They were insurance agents or whatever. They were working in a cubicle. And as soon as the towers hit, they literally walked out to their cars, went down to the recruitment station, and joined the military. And you heard those stories, and it sparked some sort of something inside of you, this patriotism, this pride for your country, knowing that there were people still out there who loved America so much that they were willing to give their life for it. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We're going to talk about that with our good buddy Congressman Ralph Norman a little bit later on in the program today. And, of course, President Biden making a complete fool of himself at the ceremony today in Normandy with the French president. And there were multiple moments. There was one where it appeared Biden was trying to sit down on some sort of an invisible seat, and the first lady has to literally turn. She had to turn to him, and she put up the piece of paper so nobody could see what she was saying. But she was trying to tell him, you cannot sit down. No, don't sit down. Stand up. And then he got lost. At some point, he actually, you could see the first lady had a grip, a vice grip on his hand. And she was dragging him away from the ceremony. We don't know what that was all about. Meanwhile, the French president is sticking back and he's greeting the veterans. Biden actually going off in his speech talking about the war with Russia and Ukraine. Let me explain something. And by the way, when you go back and listen to the speech, it was a politically motivated speech. And there's a lot of subtle digs at Republicans in there and President Trump. This was not a speech that should have been delivered at such an important occasion. There should have been absolutely no politics. Today is about remembering D-Day, the 80th anniversary. It has nothing to do with Ukraine, has nothing to do with Russia. This has everything to do with the great sacrifice of American men, the treasure that was spilled on those beaches. That's all today is about. It's not about politics. And Biden's handlers made it all about politics. He didn't write that speech. Then the guy, and there's a lot of speculation on social media, did the guy have some sort of another accident? I don't know. But that's the talk on the scuttlebutt on social media, is that Biden had to go and change his pants. I don't know. But I do know that the person that carries the football, you know, that person goes wherever Biden goes. The guy with the football, the nuclear codes, is right there. Now, apparently, there's a bottle of Febreze in the briefcase. Can't confirm that information, but that's what I've heard. So then, on top of all of that, now Biden was called on a hot mic telling the French president, you know, again, this is all about D-Day. And Biden is obsessed with the idea of leaving first. And we can't play this audio. It's so faint. But you can actually hear Biden telling the French president as they're walking to the ceremony that he has to be the first one to leave. I have to leave first. That's the rules. I've got to go first. It's unbelievable. This guy is a complete embarrassment. I just don't think he's going to be able to finish his full term in office. All right. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. And if you do, now, normally we save this for Open Line Friday, but today, if you have a family member who served in World War II, maybe they were a part of what happened on D-Day, I want to hear from you. You can call in. You can share your story with us. Again, our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Thanks to the good people at American Hartford Gold, I'm able to bring you this urgent message. Inflation is on the rise again. The dollar is in danger of collapse, and an overheated stock market could crash at any time. The upcoming election is only adding to the chaos. That's why you should contact the good folks at American Hartford Gold to help you safeguard your financial future with physical gold and silver. You can diversify your savings with precious metals delivered right to your door or in a tax-advantaged gold IRA. Protect your retirement from a collapsing dollar and crashing stock prices. Call 855-913-1133 or text Todd to 65532 today for a free gold and silver informational kit. And if you call now, they'll send you up to $15,000 of free silver on qualifying purchases. Gold has hit record highs and keeps climbing. So call 855-913-1133 or text Todd now to 65532 for your free informational kit today. All right, I was just alerted by Ben Dieter, our national correspondent, that the following words are now trending on X, the words in connection to Joe Biden. Diaper, pooping, pooped, did Joe Biden? And that's the big question. So now there's a lot of speculation that maybe there was some sort of an oopsie during the D-Day ceremony. By the way, new video just surfacing that shows Biden on stage appearing to fall asleep. He's got his eyes closed. Everybody else's eyes wide open. They're engaged in the ceremony, and Biden has his head bowed and his eyes closed. And I don't think the man was praying, but you never know. You never know. So there you have it. This is the president of the United States. It's just unbelievable. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Good to have you with us. I got a hate postcard in the mail. You know, it's interesting. I get a lot of hate mail, and a lot of it just comes on Facebook and Twitter, and it's just, you know, it doesn't take a lot of effort to share that kind of hate. But when you go out and you buy a postcard, and then you write a message on the postcard and you pay money for a stamp. That's good money for a stamp. And you put it in the mail. Well, you know, I got to read it on air. I mean, I've got to. So this is a guy by the name of Dave Fairley. And he's from Wyoming. And by the way, I got to tell you, Dave was a little cheap on the postcard. This looks like one of those that you get at the gas station. It's a photograph of the Bear Tooth Highway switchback. And based on the car, that it looks like this is from the 70s or 80s. Maybe Dave's just had this card for a long time. Anyway, Dave says, I saw your post about President Trump returning to Florida for safe harbor. What a stupid thing to say, but not surprising given you have to be stupid to still support that scumbag. Signed, Dave Fairley. And then he actually printed out the words traitor on the card there. So Dave thinks I'm a traitor. Thank you very much, Dave. I appreciate that. And thank you for the postcard. We're going to put this in a place of great honor a little bit later on today. All right. NPR, National Public Welfare Radio, doing an interview with swing state voters. And these are all young people. These are the children of America. And they were asked about Joe Biden and their thoughts on Joe Biden and his age. I think this is appropriate now that we may or may not have a poop incident going on in France. Cut number 14.
Let's start with President Biden. I mean, for the first word or phrase that comes to mind when you hear President Biden. Sherilyn, what's yours?
Struggling.
Asa?
Concerned.
Okay. Rob?
Senile.
Bob?
Patriotic.
Nakaya?
I was going to say senile, too.
Eugene?
Old.
Oh, there you go. I'm telling you, folks, people are seeing it. And I know the mainstream media, they've got a job to do, and their job is to provide cover for this guy. But there's really not much you can do. As a matter of fact, here is some of the media spin. Cut 13.
They're using people around Johnson and Kevin McCarthy to do this Trump hit piece on Joe Biden. They're talking about international affairs. If you want to talk about how to get bipartisan legislation, Joe Biden is light years ahead of all of them.
But it's not going away. He's not going to age backwards. This isn't Benjamin Button here. This is Joe Biden.
Anybody who has spent any time at all with Joe Biden knows one thing about Joe Biden above all else. He's a talker.
He is sharp, he is engaged, and he is commanding. President Biden reflects the fact that all of us who have demanding lives in public service sometimes misspeak.
Well, there you go. Oh, these are just little missteps. Really? You've seen this guy. It looks as though, and maybe it's, no, I know this to be the case. Just in the past month, we have seen yet another decline in Joe Biden. I don't think he's going to be able to finish out the term. I think they get to Chicago for the Democrat convention, and that's when they decide, and it's not going to be Gavin Newsom. He's too white. He's too rich. He's too straight. It's got to be, and it can't be Pete Buttigieg because nobody likes him. Even the gays are turning on Buttigieg. Nobody wants Buttigieg in the Oval Office. So the question is, will it really be Michelle Obama, or is it possible that you could have the dream team of the feminazis, which would be an Obama-Clinton ticket? Because, you know, Hillary Clinton, the crypt keeper, she's out there. She's lurking. And she's just waiting for the chance. And so if that means offing Joe Biden, putting a little bit of, I don't know, a little something in the cannoli, it could happen. If you've seen Godfather 3, you know what I'm talking about. All right, coming up a little bit later, our good friend Congressman Ralph Norman joins us. Also, we're going to talk to a Houston Astros fan who got in trouble because she was wearing a pro-Trump T-shirt. And there was nothing weird about the shirt, nothing offensive. The T-shirt just said Free Trump. We're going to be talking to that Houston Astros fan a little bit later on. Also, the Daily Wire sent Spencer Lindquist to Chicago's Queer Fam Pride Jam, which is some sort of a weird gay-centric family pride festival. We're going to find out what Spencer saw. I hope they're covering his therapy. And a little bit later on, Mary Margaret Olihan, who is a senior reporter for the Daily Signal, has a brand new book out called D-Trans, True Stories of Escaping the Gender Ideology Cult. That book, brand new, and so looking forward to talking to Mary Margaret. All right, I want to play some audio here. This is from a news report in, of all places, Connecticut. We're going to get to this at the bottom of the hour. We'll play this when we come back. But there was a police officer who lost his life. He was killed in the line of duty. And they were, the city council was trying to figure out a way to honor this guy, this fallen officer. And so they had requested that they fly the Thin Blue Line flag, the flag that honors police officers. And the city actually rejected that. The city said, no, that flag is racist. We will not be flying the Thin Blue Line flag at half mast. That is not going to happen. Instead, the city leaders decided that they were going to honor the fallen police officer by flying the gay pride flag instead. People are really upset about this. And they're saying, first of all, the guy wasn't gay. He's a the police officer was not gay, so why are we flying the gay pride flag? What does that flag have to do with anything? But again, city leaders are now saying that the Thin Blue Line flag there in Connecticut is racist. And instead, they say the best way, the most important way to honor a fallen police officer is to fly the LGBT flag. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS. All right, we're getting some new intel into the program here, and I want to share this with you. The breaking news coming out from Washington, D.C., Steve Bannon is heading to jail. This is a very disturbing and troubling development. And again, we talk a lot about on the program about the weaponization of the federal government and especially the Justice Department. And understand that there's a reason for all of this. This is not happening in some sort of a vacuum. So Steve Bannon is now being ordered to report to prison by July the 1st. This is from the reporting of thehill.com. Bannon, of course, has been sentenced to 4 months in prison for being in contempt of Congress. So he was found guilty of that. He was and has been trying to appeal. So Bannon has been free as the appeal wages on. U.S. District Judge Carl Nichols agreed with prosecutors that Bannon must self-surrender by July 1st. So far, his bid to overturn the conviction has been rejected by the appellate court. That happened last month. And so the judge says that the government's motion is granted. Just in case you're wondering, the judge in this case appointed by Donald Trump to the bench. Bannon says that he's going to be appealing this all the way to the Supreme Court, and he says he should remain free while he's doing that. Okay, we're not talking about a convicted killer here. We're not talking about an armed robber. We're not talking about somebody that's going out there and causing harm to people. We're talking about a man who is in contempt of Congress. And again, I go back to this point every single time. Why aren't the Republicans playing hardball like the Democrats? Why is that so difficult for the Republicans to understand? We had some lawmakers on the show yesterday, and also I talked about this last night on the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. Why is it that these Republicans are not holding Merrick Garland and the others to the same standard? They should be held in contempt of Congress. They refuse to testify. They refuse to turn over documents, hold them in contempt, and throw their butts in jail. But, Todd, the Justice Department, I don't care. I don't care. It's time that the Republicans play hardball. Now, the District of Columbia Circuit Court of Appeals rejected Bannon's appeal last month. And at that time, the Justice Department said, we've got to immediately throw this guy in jail. Keep in mind, the only thing here is that Bannon has ticked off Congress and the Democrats in Congress, and they're going to throw the guy in prison for that. Do you understand that Steve Bannon will legitimately meet the definition of being a political prisoner? Now, you may not like Steve Bannon. You may think he's a blowhard. You may not like people like Alex Jones. You may think he's a blow. But you know what? They have a constitutional right to be blowhards. They have a constitutional right to say what's on their mind. But this is the only thing that the Justice Department is doing here is saying this to every single America First conservative out there. And we have a lot of them listening to this program around the nation. And the message is very clear that if you support Donald Trump, you will have a target on your back. And what we've decided on this program is we have our working philosophy is we don't care. Fine. We got a target. Great. You know where to find us. We don't make any bones about that. The feds know where our broadcast bunker is. And that's all well and good for me. And I can promise you this, I'll be broadcasting this show as they're dragging me out of this studio. And I'll still be hollering, Dylan, we're gonna work out a plan. So if the feds, and it's going to take them a few seconds to get up the stairs to the news bunker, but when that happens, we're going to have a cell phone ready to go, and you're just going to toss it to me, and we'll be broadcasting as they're dragging me through the parking lot. But we're not going to be silent. We're going to work this out with Dieter, but he'll have to jump into the anchor chair if that happens. Tell him we'll cover his bail, too. We'll put that in the contract. But in all seriousness here, folks, do you understand what's going on? They're literally trying to jail some of the key Trump supporters in this country right now. And that ought to terrify the living daylights of everybody, and it ought to light a fire under your butts to get out there and to vote and to call your elected leaders and demand that they start playing by the same rules that Democrats are playing. But, Todd, we're just good people. I don't care. You can't bring a croquet ball to a street fight. You can bring the mallet, but you can't just bring the ball. Well, they don't bring any balls. Anyway, don't want to get in trouble there. 901-260-5926. Do you think the judge is doing the right thing here? They found Bannon in contempt of Congress, and judge says he is such a threat to America that he has to be jailed. No, they want to silence Steve Bannon. They want to shut down his podcast. And this is one of the reasons I am so glad that I am not beholden to anybody else except for the great listeners of this program. I don't have corporate overlords. We make every decision. What you see is what you get. And I'm telling you this right now. I am not going to back down, and I am not going to soften what I have to say. I'm not a right winger. I'm a constitutionalist. I believe that you ought to be able to live your life however you see fit in this country. I believe that you should be able to believe whatever you want to believe. If you don't know your pronouns, well, you're a moron, but you got a constitutional right to be a moron. By the way, just look down your britches. You can figure it out. It's a public service announcement, free of charge. So again, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll take your reaction on this breaking news that Steve Bannon has now been ordered to prison because he is in contempt of Congress. You know how many Democrats have been arrested? None. Not a one. Not a one. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Again, folks, the breaking news, Steve Bannon being ordered to prison. He refused, or he ignored a subpoena to testify before Congress. And so now the judge has determined that the greatest threat to America, not the killers that have been arrested and are now back out on the streets, not the rapist or the illegal alien invaders. No, the greatest threat to our society right now is Steve Bannon. Are you buying any of this? 901-260-5926. Let's take a listen to this report. We're going right to the phones afterwards.
Yeah, so just moments ago, Judge Carl Nichols ordered that Steve Bannon report to prison by July 1st. This comes nearly 2 years after the trial in which Bannon was convicted for defying the January 6th committee's subpoena for documents and testimony in connection with his actions after Donald Trump lost the election in 2020. Judge Nichols said that he believed that there was no longer the original basis for the stay of the imposition of Steve Bannon's sentence that he originally came up with over a year and a half ago back in the fall of 2022 when he sentenced Steve Bannon to 4 months in federal prison, because this has already worked its way up to the appeals court. Now, Steve Bannon's team wants the full panel of federal appellate judges, federal appellate court to hear these questions, but a three-judge panel already came back and denied his appeal. Ultimately, Bannon could appeal this order that he report to prison by July 1st. But given what we saw previously from the panel, it's a question of whether or not there's much of a chance of that.
All right. Well, go back to last year in December when Hunter Biden defied a congressional subpoena. So why wasn't he thrown in jail? Why wasn't Hunter Biden ordered to go to prison? And by the way, the headline on this from the Associated Press at the time, Hunter Biden defies a GOP congressional subpoena. And here's the quote from Congressman James Comer. Quote, he just got into more trouble. No, he didn't. Congressman Comer is not being honest. Why haven't they gone after Hunter Biden? Why haven't they gone after Merrick Garland? Bunch of cowardly Republicans. All right, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Mary in North Carolina. Hi, Mary. What's on your mind?
Hello?
You're on the air, Mary. All right, let's put Mary on hold and get that figured out, call screening, folks. Let's go to Bob in Florida, WOCA.
Pat, I'd like you to send a memo to President Trump to approve a proven attorney general, and that a proven attorney general has got a record of successfully prosecuting criminals. His name is Rudy Giuliani, and there's I'll just tell you this: there's no statute of limitations for murder. Think Vince Foster, and so with Rudy in there, you clean it up, and you watch the rats run for their holes. Thank you.
All right, Bob, appreciate that call. And again, folks, the breaking news here we're talking about is Steve Bannon being ordered to prison. This is what the weaponization of your government looks like, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it looks like. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, yesterday, during the Hunter Biden trial, and I find this to be fascinating, the FBI, in their testimony, actually admitted that the Hunter Biden laptop is real. And this is huge because for years, the media has gone out of its way to say that there was no such thing. It was all a matter of Russian disinformation. That was the argument, is that there was no laptop. This was all about the Russians interfering on Trump's behalf in the election. Let's go back to cut number 19. This is a 60 Minutes interview Trump did with Leslie Stahl.
You know, this is 60 Minutes, and we can't put on things we can't verify.
You won't put it on because it's bad for Biden.
We can't put on things we can't verify.
Leslie.
Do
you know what you told me a long time ago when I asked why you keep saying fake media?
Yeah.
You said to me, I say that because I need to discredit you. So that when you say negative things about me, no one will believe
you. I don't have to discredit you.
But that's what
you've discredited yourself.
You told me that.
Leslie, you've discredited yourself. When you say that you're not going to cover Biden, you're going to ask him what flavor ice cream he has, okay?
That's not
Instead
true.
Of why did Hunter get $3.5 million from Moscow? Instead of why is an energy company paying your son $183,000 a month or whatever they're paying him? And he has no experience in energy. You know, you discredit yourself. I don't have to discredit you.
So this story about Hunter and his laptop, some repair shop found it, The source is Steve Bannon and Rudy Giuliani.
I don't know anything about that. I just know it's a laptop, and they haven't.
And you're making this one of the hottest, most important issues in your rallies.
It's a very important issue to find out whether or not a man's corrupt who's running for president, who's accepted money from China and from Ukraine and from Russia.
All these things
that's
have been investigated and discredited.
It's incredible the way you can try and say this and sit there and look me in the eye and say it. He accepted money, his family, from Russia, from Ukraine, from China, and from other places. His brother, who didn't have experience, became a big builder in Iraq without experience. Take a look at what's going on, Leslie. And then you say that shouldn't be discussed.
I'm saying
it's the biggest scandal out there, Leslie, and you don't cover it.
Because it can't be verified.
You want to talk about insignificant things.
I'm telling you.
Of course it can be verified. Excuse me. They found the laptop. Leslie, listen.
Can't be verified.
What can't be verified?
The laptop.
So, by the way, you heard some differences in the audio there. And the reason why is that 60 Minutes edited out all of the stuff that you just heard, the lower quality audio, that was all edited out by 60 Minutes. But the Trump team recorded all of that, okay? And they played that back because there was a lot more to it, and 60 Minutes didn't want any of that going out over the air. But you heard Leslie Stahl on 60 Minutes say, "We cannot verify the authenticity of Hunter Biden's laptop." That's her quote. Well, where is the apology now coming from 60 Minutes? Where is the retraction of this information and this story? Because, again, if you go back and there were surveys done, and most Americans said, had they known about this laptop computer, it would have impacted their vote on Election Day. So if you're looking at disinformation, it was coming from the Democrats and it was coming from the mainstream media. Trump was absolutely correct here. It was all proven to be true. As a matter of fact, everything Trump has ever said from the White House or in any of these interviews has always proven out at the end of the day to be accurate. There you go. I mean, facts matter, and Trump always comes to these interviews armed with the facts. You may not like what he has to say or how he says it, but he's always spot on. All right, I think we've worked it out here with Mary in North Carolina, wants to weigh in on Steve Bannon. All right, Mary, you are on the air.
Good afternoon, and God bless you. We cannot wait. This is an SOS, urgent, to all real Republicans. Everyone has to call their senators. Everybody has to call their House representatives. We cannot wait anymore. And we have to, like Megan Fox says, tit for tat. The wolf has gotten the blood, and they're out for more. We can't do this. They're taking out all our people. This is like if we're at war. We are at war.
Mary, and look at the timeline, Mary. Look at the timeline. He's got a report by July 1. That means, I believe it's a little over a four-month sentence. He will be in prison through the election. That's what this is all about.
It's ridiculous. I mean, the real crimes have been done by the Democrats, some of the Democrats, and the Clinton, Obama, Biden, not President Trump. Please, they're making up crimes. Everybody should be outraged that our civil liberties and our constitutional rights are being attacked. I would sue for defamation of all these liars. I want everybody subpoenaed. I want everybody that is in contempt to be charged, like Garland and Mayorkas and all these liars. We have to do something. This is very serious. Our country is not going to we're in like a civil war. They have to do something. And President Trump can't do it all. He has the weight of the shoulders on him.
Mary, it's a great point, and we're coming up on the top of the hour. I'm going to have to let you go, but I hear your passion, and I hear your rage, and it is righteous. I mean, this is absolutely bonkers crazy, but look at the timeline. So the Biden team, and again, this is Obama. Can we call it what it is? It's Obama. All right? So Obama is putting Steve Bannon in prison through the election. When is it that Donald Trump has to show up for his sentencing? It's July the 11th. Folks, I'm telling you, if I were Trump, I wouldn't be showing up because they're going to throw that man in jail. They're going to try to have all of the key Trump people in prison, and they're hoping that's going to be enough to stop Trump from winning in the fall. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. And again, what a great honor to be with you on this 80th anniversary of D-Day. And we are following the developments, the ceremonies, and the pageantry as we honor the greatest generation. We're following some breaking news. This just came down in the last hour, but a federal judge has now ordered Steve Bannon to report to prison on July 1st to begin serving a four-month sentence. Now, the charge here is that he defied a congressional subpoena and was found guilty of contempt of Congress charges. And Bannon is facing a four-month sentence that would put him in prison through the November election. Now, there is also concern that Judge Juan Merchan may send Donald Trump to jail on July 11th. Now, Peter Navarro, who is a former Trump advisor, is already in prison, and he's serving a four-month sentence because he, too, was found guilty of refusing to comply with a congressional subpoena. So understand what's going on here, folks. Navarro and Bannon are political prisoners of the Biden-Obama regime, as are a good many people that took part in whatever happened at the Capitol on J6. And it is absolutely time for the Republicans to step up and intervene in whatever way possible. Congressman Matt Gaetz, writing just a few moments ago that he was saddened and angered at the death of the judicial system in America. He says Steve Bannon sought judicial review of the illegal demands of a runaway congressional committee, unlike any ever comprised. It was literally a matter of first impression, and they're sending him to prison, not just to torture him, but to torture us. Well, I want to get reaction to that from our good friend from South Carolina's 5th Congressional District, Congressman Ralph Norman. Congressman, good to have you with us. I want to get your take on this news, Steve Bannon going to prison.
Well, it's outlandish. It's an insult to the American people. It's the total weaponization of every department in the Biden administration. And does it surprise me? No. I mean, I was up in New York with other Congress people a couple of weeks ago to look at, to visually see what's happening to Donald Trump. And Todd, it's an outrage. Matt's right to be. All of us ought to be mad. And just this has got to stop. And the only way it's going to stop is to change this administration. Else, if they get another 4 years of the Biden regime, this country will be changed beyond repair, particularly the judicial system and the courts. And they'll have these phony commissions. They'll have these phony, like January 6th, where people don't, you have a right. We used to have a right to a fair trial. In Donald Trump's case, he had a right to know who was a victim and what crime was he being charged with. He had neither. In the same way with the 50-some people on the January 6th commission that booted off all Republicans and any cross-examination. So it's a sad day in America, and they're doing this to send a message that they're coming after us.
Well, they are. And I would you agree with this? I believe that Peter Navarro and soon-to-be Steve Bannon are political prisoners of the Biden-Obama regime.
Oh, absolutely. Merrick Garland has shown that. And the thing about it, they've got total disdain. I don't know whether you watch the hearings or not, but they're basically thumbing their noses at Jim Jordan and Comer and his committee hearings. And you know, the only way you deal with these people is get them out. And the only way to get them out is on November 5th. But before that, you know, what can we do the next 5 months? I think it's going to take a special commission that people are tired of having hearing after hearing and no consequences. I mean, yes, they get, you know, you get to see Republicans yelling at the witnesses or asking questions that the witnesses can't answer from the Biden administration. But the thing that I hear in South Carolina, they want consequences. It hasn't happened to Hillary Clinton, hasn't happened to so many cases where if you're a Democrat, you get by with absolutely anything, i.e. Hunter Biden is a poster child for this. But it's an outrage, and does it surprise me? No. Will it surprise me that they will try to put Donald Trump in jail? No, it doesn't. With this crowd, nothing surprises me.
So what is it that can be done here? What can the Republicans right now in the House of Representatives, what can you guys do?
Well, and that's what we're trying to. We met with a lawyer. I say we. I'm head of the Conservative Opportunists. We had a lawyer from the Heritage Foundation give us a roadmap. It's got to be, the speaker has got to start issuing, having somebody of head of a commission that will issue subpoenas to Merrick Garland, to Marchand, to Alvin Bragg, those who are just blatantly, you know, not following the Constitution and are blatantly partisan. Marchand leads the chorus on this. I mean, his daughter's raising money for Democrats. Bragg has openly said he was, you know, out to get President Trump. And what they've done to that man and others, you know, now that, you know, Bannon and others are going to be sentenced to jail. I mean, they're political prisoners, and they're this is meant to send a message to all Americans. This is what happens when you exercise your First Amendment rights, freedom of speech. And it's a travesty, and we've just got to correct it. And it starts with issuing subpoenas, which hopefully Jim Jordan can do. And if not, another commission that has a lawyer that will, you know, take off the gloves with these people because they know no bounds.
Congressman, what do you tell all of these, and we've got a lot of listeners out there that are ready to take up arms, they're ready to march in the streets, that you've seen the polling surveys on civil war. What do you tell all of these very angry, and I believe justifiably angry, American patriots?
What I tell them is to exercise your First Amendment rights, speak up. You know, the liberal press is not going to report it, but that you can't. You play the cards you're dealt. The only thing we can do now is those of us in Congress can, you know, try to get those who ought to be in front of a congressman that will ask tough questions. And Jordan has, but as far as the American people, they've got to take ownership in their communities. They have to take ownership and say this is not right. This weaponization of every agency, starting with the Department of Justice, has got to stop. And, you know, ultimately the only cure for this is going to be change of administrations. But I tell you, it's there, two things. They are registering the 13 to 15 million illegals in this country, which is the reason the Biden administration opened the borders up day one of his administration. They're doing it in South Carolina. They're doing it all over the country. And, you know, we are trying to go to the places that they're doing it. And in my case, it's Spartanburg, South Carolina. And you go in these government offices, they say, no, we're not doing it. You would have to almost have somebody sit there and watch them because they are. The next thing you can do is just, you know, try to follow the planes that are bringing illegals in. And they did it in Spartanburg. They're doing it in Atlanta. And just say, look, this is you know, editorials, call your congressman, call your senators. And, you know, I don't think people realize how close we are to a total socialistic takeover in this country. And it's frightening in one hand, but it is what it is, and you got to fight. We will do it with our votes, but it's going to take more than that to wake up America to know that, you know, this cannot continue. This is not what the Constitution says. This is not what this country was founded on. Political prisoners is what we fought for to get our independence, and it's not happening now.
No, it's sure not. And I will just go back, and I don't want to belabor the point here, but last year, Hunter Biden defied a Republican congressional subpoena. The quote from Congressman James Comer at the time, he just got into more trouble. But he didn't. He didn't. And I think
he didn't. And Todd, look at where his trial is taking place and compare that to Donald Trump. Manhattan, where they basically picked the judge, they picked the jury, and they were anti-Trump. Look at where the hometown in Delaware, where Hunter grew up, a sympathetic, it'd be impossible not to get a sympathetic jury. They will rig that. And now the judge, I understand, was a Trump appointee, but his trial, location, and his circumstances around gun charges. What about the LLCs he set up to take money from China, that they know he took money from China? What about the art sales? He's no artist. The millions he made, why is that a finance violation? And so many other things that, I mean, why was Hunter Biden not registered as a foreign agent to be able to do these? The money he received on the Burisma board, all of the above, it's just a double standard. And I will tell you, this administration knows no bounds. The Rules Committee I'm on, you see it. These people hate conservatives. They hate our American way of life, and they're here to destroy it and take it over. And that's what this election is all about.
All right. Well, Congressman, a lot going on. We appreciate you weighing in on the breaking news of the hour, and appreciate you fighting the good fight out there.
Well, thank you, and we're going to continue, and we're going to win.
All right. There you go, folks. Congressman Ralph Norman from South Carolina. Congressman, thank you. So there you have it, folks. What do you think the Republicans need to do here? What do you want to see your elected Republicans on Capitol Hill do? Because, again, when you look at what's happening here, and if the Democrats if they got their way 1,000%, you would not only have Peter Navarro in prison and Steve Bannon in prison. And again, they're only crimes. They have not committed any, because a lot of times people are so busy, they don't take the time to understand, well, wait a second, what are these guys charged with? And a lot of people think, oh, well, election interference or Russia collusion. No, it's none of that. They refused to comply with the congressional subpoena. That's it. Peter Navarro, off to prison. Steve Bannon, off to prison. They wanted to put two other Trump officials, including Mark Meadows and Dan Scavino, in prison, but the judge refused to follow through on that order. But then you have Donald Trump, July 11th. And I am very concerned about what's going to happen if they end up shipping Donald Trump off to prison for a year. And we now know, according to Sonny Hostin of The View, that that's the thinking, at least that's the desire, of Fat Alvin Bragg and the district attorney's office, is they want to send Trump to prison for at least a year. So I just, again, think that we ought to follow the advice of President Barack Hussein Obama. I was there on that day in Philadelphia when he said this about the Democrats and the Republicans. If they bring a knife to the fight, we bring a gun. That's what Obama said. And I believe it's time to again, put down the martini glasses, Republican, and pick up a political baseball bat. We've got to start fighting back, and we've got to start behaving just like the Democrats do. And I'll take it a step further. They throw one of our people in prison, we throw five of theirs. I'm sick of this, and I suspect many of you are as well. But until we start doing that, and until we start giving the Democrats a taste of their own medicine, I don't think they're going to stop. I think it's only going to get worse. All right, 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Oh. Okay, thanks. I've got great lawyers, and we're going to go all the way to Supreme Court if we have to, but I want to say something specifically about the Justice Department. Merrick Garland, Lisa Monaco, the entire Justice Department, they're not going to shut up Trump. They're not going to shut up Navarro. They're not going to shut up Bannon, and they're certainly not going to shut up MAGA. If you look right here, you reporters, in the 2.5 or 3 years we've been here, look at the rise of MAGA. Look at the rise of Donald Trump. If the election was held today, according to Harry Enten over at CNN, President Trump would win in a landslide. All of this, besides the major legal issues that have to be addressed, all of this is about one thing. This is about shutting down the MAGA movement, shutting down grassroots conservatives, shutting down President Trump. Not only are we winning, we are going to prevail, and every number and every poll shows that. There's nothing that can shut me up and nothing that will shut me up. There's not a prison built. There's not a prison built or a jail built that will ever shut me up. All victory to MAGA. We're going to win this. We're going to win at the Supreme Court. And more importantly, we're going to win on November 5th in an amazing landslide with the Senate, the House, and also Donald J. Trump back as President of the United States. Thank you very much.
All right. There you go. Steve Bannon, just a few moments ago, reacting to the judge's order that he report to prison by July 1st. I think Bannon's right here. There is a massive movement, and we've got to play this smart. But I am curious, what do you want the House Republicans to do here? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, I want to get to this story out of Connecticut, and this is just absolutely disgusting. So a state trooper was shot and killed by some sort of criminal animal. And the officer, Aaron Patellier, his wife, he was married, they have two young children, and now they're going to have to grow up without a father. Now, they wanted to raise the thin blue line flag in honor of the state trooper, but the city council voted it down. I want you to hear this news report of what happened.
Great respect for our law enforcement community, and I realize the dangerous job that they do every day. Out of respect for the tragic death of State Trooper First Class Aaron Pelletier, we won't be raising the pride flag today. It's already up on the pole at half staff in honor of his passing.
It was a pride ceremony today at Weathersfield Town Hall, Governor Lamont in attendance. The flagpole at the center of the controversy. At last night's council meeting, Councilor Rich Bailey requested the town fly the American Blue Line flag in honor of TFC Aaron Pelletier, who was killed in the line of duty. Town council voted it down. What does the Blue Line flag mean to you?
Represent racism and antagonism to many, many people. And even if you don't personally believe that and you fly it at your own house and you think it means something to you that's much more positive, it's just not how many people feel about it. It's not appropriate to raise over our town hall, especially when our flag policy prohibits us from doing anything associated with hate.
Okay, well, you know what? Let's play that chick's game here. All right, that pride flag, for a lot of people, that represents grooming. For a lot of people, the pride flag represents predatory behavior. For a lot of people, that pride flag stands for perversion, for anti-Christian, anti-family behavior. That's what that flag stands for a lot of other people. So I want somebody to explain to me why the state trooper's family, and by the way, the guy wasn't even gay. He's a straight guy, married, wife, two young kids. And you're telling me that that city thought it was best to honor him by lowering the pride flag to half staff? I say take it all the way down. But again, this is what we're dealing with here, folks, where the only thing that matters in America now are the LGBT people. That's it. No, everybody else, you don't matter anymore. That's what they're saying in this Connecticut town. All right, hang tight. Got to take a quick break here. Your calls as well coming up, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today on D-Day. Wow, 80 years ago, My great-grandfather flew glider planes during World War II. I had seven or eight great-uncles who flew planes or were in the Marines. And, of course, I'm remembering today, even though it is the 80th anniversary of D-Day, my uncle, my great-uncle Chico, all of you folks in Travelers Rest, South Carolina, know Dean Bolin, but we called him Uncle Chico. And he was wounded on Iwo Jima, shot up with shrapnel, went on to play basketball at Furman University. And, of course, Uncle Chico was the longtime head coach at Travelers Rest High School. The Devil Dogs is what they called the football team. He created the football program and named it after the Marines. He said he wouldn't take the job unless he could run the football program like he ran the Marine, like he was in the Marines. Oh, God. So there you go. It's needless to say, they won a lot of games. All right. We told you about this crazy story out of Houston, Texas. A Houston Astros fan was attending a game and got into a little bit of trouble. And we're going to let her tell the story. We're honored to have with us from the Houston area, Tanea Tate. Tanea, what an honor to have you with us, and we appreciate you coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, let's just set the stage here. So you were going to the game. Were you going with your family? Tell me about that.
Yeah, I was headed to the game on Sunday with my two kids.
So you were going to the game, your two kids, and tell us what kind of a Trump T-shirt were you wearing?
Yes, I was wearing just a black T-shirt that said Free Trump on the front, and that was really the only thing that it had on it, just Free Trump.
All right, so you're wearing this shirt. By the way, are you a big Astros fan? Have you been a longtime fan of the team?
I am, yes, I am. I was actually, I've been to multiple games and actually got to go to one of the World Series games a few years ago, so I am a huge fan.
Oh, wow. So you're at the game, and just like any other stadium these days, I guess you have to go through the security checkpoint. So tell me what happened. Take us through what happened when you tried to get into the stadium.
Sure, yeah. So walking in to the stadium, you do have to, you know, go through a security checkpoint. And I was with my kids, of course. One is 16 years old, one's 9. And we get up, you know, to the security part, and the lady motions me to go into a separate line, which I thought was different because I had never had to do that with my kids, you know, leave them in a different line. But I did that and got up to the part where you put your belongings into the bin, and they, you know, pass it through the security kind of metal detector point. And the guy, there was a gentleman that stopped me, and he took the handheld metal detector and was kind of scanning it over my shirt multiple times. And I couldn't figure out, you know, why it was taking as long as it was. And I remember kind of pressing down on my shirt and saying, you know, there's nothing else on me. There's nothing in here. And he said, I don't think it's that. I think it's your shirt. And I was, you know, I was kind of taken back because I was, you know, I was thinking like, they thought I had something metal on me, but
right.
You know, I certainly didn't. Then he called over another representative from the security team, and she came over and let me know that I wouldn't be able to enter with that shirt on. And so I was kind of like, well, what do you want me to do? You know, I'm here with my kids. I don't, you know, I'm not gonna, you know, I don't have another shirt. I do have a jacket, you know, and so I agreed to put that on. And she let me know that she wanted me to keep that on the whole game. And she actually, in front of me, called somebody on the phone and let them know, you know, what section I was in and that I was wearing a political shirt and to keep an eye on me and make sure I had it on the whole game.
This is outrageous. Tanea, what was going through your mind? I would have been livid at that point.
Yeah, I was. It all kind of happened so fast. And, you know, my ultimate goal that day was just to have a good, you know, Sunday afternoon with my kids. So, you know, it was, you know, I look at the situation and I think, you know, the normal me with, you know, friends or somebody else would have probably acted a little differently. But because I was with them, I complied and I just, you know, went on about my day. But still doesn't make it, you know, doesn't make it right.
No, no, it doesn't. And you're a great lady, and, you know, you've got your kids there, and you want to, like you said, you want to enjoy yourself. I have to imagine, though, that must have been weird knowing that somebody was probably monitoring you through the entire game.
Yes, and I did, I mean, Houston's very hot here, so I got into the game, and I did take my jacket off right when I sat down after I took the photos that you've probably seen circulating. I did take my jacket off and, you know, walked by other folks in Minute Maid Park, and nobody said anything except for, I like your shirt, I love your shirt, you know, where'd you get your shirt, those type of comments, but no other negative, you know, negative aspects of that whole, of the whole situation were, it was just at the security checkpoint.
You know, you hear these reports all the time about Trump supporters coming under attack, or, you know, they're being singled out. What was that experience like for you when you had to experience it firsthand?
Yeah, I mean, you hear about it all the time. You see it on the news. You know, I felt like it was a suppression of our freedom, our right to freedom of speech. You know, I felt like I was, you know, being discriminated against, because of the shirt that I was wearing, you know, and, I pay a lot of money. I support the Astros, and I didn't see a problem with it. It wasn't vulgar, or, you know, didn't have any profanity on it. So I didn't see a problem.
Seems to me, if you would have walked in there with a BLM shirt or a Pride shirt, they would not have batted an eyelash.
Well, yeah, and that's kind of my whole, you know, issue with this is, you know, there's a whole night designated to Pride, and, you know, whatever your beliefs are, that's fine. But, you know, there's Pride shirts everywhere, there's BLM shirts everywhere, and that's fine and great, but why, it's the same thing. It's no different to me, you know.
Have you heard, have the Houston Astros, Minute Maid Park, has anybody reached out to you to apologize or, you know, make this right?
No, they have not.
Well, we've reached out, and I'm still waiting to hear back from them, but I don't think this is going away. And I have to imagine there are, you know, we broadcast this show on Patriot Talk 920 in Houston. I have to imagine there are a lot of Trump supporters out there who are probably not going to be happy with the Astros, Tiana.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm sure.
All right. So let's talk about Trump for just a moment. So how long have you been supporting the president, and why do you support the president?
Oh, I've been ever since he ran the first time, you know, that's who I voted for. And, you know, the reason I support him is because really my beliefs and values align more with conservative principles. And he's authentic. He's the most competent choice we have for the leader of our country.
Tanea, real quick before we let you go, and I so much appreciate your time here, and I know all of our Houston listeners and our national audience as well, they're just livid over this. What did you tell your kids? Did you explain this? Did you have a conversation with your kids about this?
My daughter asked me when we were in the line after I had gotten through and put my jacket on. She goes, "What was that all about?" And my 9-year-old, he's kind of, you know, he's a 9-year-old boy, so he was kind of, you know, not really paying too much attention, but my daughter was very aware. And I talked to them about these things, but I didn't want to make it into a big deal. I was really just trying to enjoy the day with my children. So I just said, you know, it was just about my shirt, but I'm going to cover it up and let's go in and let's enjoy the game.
All right. Well, and I'm glad you guys did. I'm so sorry you had to go through that. But again, I think you did the right thing, and it's important to speak out. You did it the right way. And you're right. We have pictures, folks, on our website. You can see the T-shirt, Free Trump. I mean, there's nothing profane or vulgar about it. And Tanea, we just wish you nothing but the best. And let's hope the Houston Astros and Minute Maid Park make this right.
Thank you. And thanks again for having me.
All right. Tanea Tate, ladies and gentlemen, a Houston Astros fan. And she a great business lady there in the Houston area. And her crime was wearing a Donald Trump T-shirt to a baseball game. And I have absolutely no doubt in my mind that if she was wearing a Pride flag T-shirt or a BLM T-shirt, that she would have been welcomed in, and shoot, they might have even put her up on the Jumbotron. So again, when you see these things, and she did the right thing here. She's a good person. She doesn't want to make a big scene about it, but we do need to talk about these things because we cannot allow this kind of discrimination to go on in America. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. Our telephone number, if you want to react, and maybe what is your message? We know Tanea is listening to us and all of our Houston area listeners as well. What's your take on what the Houston Astros did here? Did they discriminate against this lady and her kids? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. By the way, real quick, last night, so kind, the Theater Memphis, and they're 103 years old, one of the oldest community theaters in the nation. They invited me to the family and friends night of the show Cinderella the Musical. Folks, I'm telling you, it's like Broadway quality, and it's not just the performances, but the scenery and the costume. It's amazing. Well done, and if you're anywhere in the Mid-South, come on over and grab a ticket. They're selling out performances, but they'll be doing this show through June 20th. Go and check it out. It's a lot of fun, and it's kind of a nice escape. But I got to tell you, I'm not cut out for the late night stuff. You know what I mean? I'm needed an extra cup of coffee this morning. All right, let's go to the phone lines. WTJS in West Tennessee, our great affiliate. That is Frankie Lax Country. Rad is on the line. All right, what do you think we ought to be doing here, and what should the Trump fans in Houston do?
I think every one of them ought to show up to the next game with their Trump attire on and send about 40,000 Trump supporters in there and just see what happens then with the security checkpoint.
I love this idea. This is a great idea. Love it.
Send them all. I would almost tell you that they were going to find out real quickly that the majority of their fans are Trump supporters.
Oh, no doubt about it. I know Houston. And look, our listeners on 920 Patriot Talk, they carry the show. They're on delay. So they're not getting the live feed, which is why we don't get a lot of calls from the Houston area. But I can promise you this. They are going to be so fired up over this. I love this idea, Rad. Love it.
Absolutely. Enjoy your show. You're a good man.
Well, thank you for that, and thank you for listening to WTJS. We love our friends out there, Lacey Ennis, the great team out there bringing conservative talk radio to Western Tennessee. Rad says, you know what, Houston fans, show up at the next game, and everybody wear the red MAGA ball caps, do a red out over at, or maybe an orange out. That's... I'm just saying. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phone lines here. Steven in Maine, WLOB. Hi, Steven. What's on your mind?
Well, first thing, Todd, you told me to give you a call back a little bit more often. I haven't done that, but I missed the class act of daytime radio, so I just got a little bit lonely, and I figured I'd give you a call today and see if I could get through, number one. Number two, you had asked about what can we do as far as the Republicans, you know, in Congress and stuff. You said it over and over and over. The problem is it's Republicans. It's self-inflicted wounds. We got 20 Republicans roughly in there. They're probably establishment Republicans. They're not doing anything. And you said it over and over, and everybody knows it. All you got to do is shut that money down. All you have to do is shut that money down.
That's it.
If the Democrats send something over from the Senate and they want money, table that sucker. If the House sends stuff over there to the Senate and stuff, we have senators now that are starting to stand up. And it doesn't matter if they table it. They can table it back and forth. What do we got to lose in the last 4 or 5 months? Look what they're doing, throwing everybody in prison. Shut Congress down. That's what will fix it. And by the way, one other thing I'd like to point out, you know, you got Paul Ryan in this picture, Murdoch, and those are established, those establishment Republicans.
Yeah.
That's the Bush-Cheney super PAC.
No doubt.
That's why you're not seeing a subpoena for Liz Cheney. That's why.
And Liz Cheney needs to testify, and she needs to be held accountable for all of the lies that were coming from that committee. Stephen, you're exactly right. Well, it's good hearing from you, sir, and I'm glad you took me up on the offer to give me a call back, and give us another holler back one of these days, Stephen. I want to get over to Thad in Georgia. Thad, what's on your mind today?
Well, Todd, I'm just like everybody else. We all know we got to win this election. We know how important it is. We know what's at stake. But where we're losing, we might win the battle, but we're losing the war because our children and our college kids are getting rerouted at a young age. And by the time they're old, I'm sure you and everybody else knows somebody that has kids that grew up conservative. I mean, their families did, their cousins. But there's always two or three in the family that are so liberal, you wonder where they came from. And so if we can't stop the attack on our children in schools and all these people coming into schools reading and dressed this way and that way and no pledge of allegiance and the attack on the patriotic American, we're going to lose the war anyways.
You know, Thad, that's a great point. And maybe we can open up the lines in the next hour. I would like to hear from some parents. Maybe they've sent their kids off to college and they grew up as Christians and conservatives. And then they come back as, you know, godless heathens that look like they're right out of the movie Mad Max. I've seen the videos and the photos on social media lately, and it's really terrifying to know that these sweet, innocent kids, they're going off to college and they're coming back as godless heathens. So, and you know, if you know of somebody like that, or maybe it happened to your kid, because then you have to undo all of the indoctrination. May I just make a suggestion? And Thad and all the other folks out there in the country, get your kids to a good college or university, Liberty University, West Coast Baptist College, Truett McConnell University. These are good, solid Christian schools. Your kid's going to get a great education. They're going to be able to get a great job. They're going to be able to still be a patriotic member of society. And the cost, folks, is well worth it. And one of the things about West Coast Baptist College, they don't take a penny of federal money, which is amazing because all the kids are graduating debt-free over there. It's brilliant. But Liberty University, I'm telling you, the reason why Liberty is coming under attack is because they are making an impact right now in the culture with their graduates. So anyway, Thad, it's a great point. Thank you for that call. Look, 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Hey, in the break, head over to the website. We haven't talked a lot about it, but you got to get a copy of my new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. Saturday, I'm going to be doing a book signing in South Haven, Mississippi. All you TJS listeners, come on over to Mississippi. Make it a day. We're going to have a lot of fun. 11 to 1 at the Books a Million in South Haven, Mississippi. That's coming up Saturday. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us today. By the way, we have got a lot going on this hour. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Mary Margaret Olihan. She is a senior reporter for the Daily Signal, and she has a brand new book out on the gender ideology cult. So we're looking forward to that conversation coming up in just a little while. Also, a lot of folks wanting to weigh in on this this great lady. Her name is Tanea Tate. She is a big Houston Astros fan, and she's a business lady there in the Houston area. Took her kids to go see the Houston Astros. She's a big fan, and she was stopped. She was told, again, in the heat of Houston, she had to wear like a jacket to cover up her Free Trump shirt. So that was what it said. They said it was a political message. She was not allowed to have it in there. And the question is, what do you think we ought to be doing here to fight back? How do we fight back? What do you recommend that Houston Astros fans do in response to this ban on the Trump T-shirt? So our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Well, always a fun conversation when Spencer Lindquist joins us. He is a field reporter for the Daily Wire. And Spencer, they send you to some of the craziest places. First, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me. And that's right. This weekend was no exception. It certainly was a crazy scene at the event that I attended over the weekend.
So you attended something, and this was in Chicago. It's called the Queer Fam Pride Jam. What was going on in the Windy City?
The Queer Fam Pride Jam, as the name suggests, was marketed. It was billed as a family-friendly event. And, of course, that means that you should bring your children. That was the intent. It was trying to attract children, and it was quite successful. This was a Pride Month kickoff event, really. And it was quite a stark scene. There was a number of different performances there. We had three different drag performers. We had a dance class on a style of dance that is popular in the LGBT movement. And we had a number of different pride-themed festivities that were directly aimed at children. And the first thing I have to say that really struck me when I walked into the park where this was being hosted was there was actually a massive amount of strollers that were lined up against the wall. So this wasn't something that was even aimed at teenagers per se. This was something that was directly aimed at toddlers. I saw babies. I saw infants there who couldn't have been more than 6 or 8 months old. So this was an event that was directly and intentionally marketed to very, very young children.
So Spencer, don't take this the wrong way, but for those of you who haven't seen Spencer's picture on X, you know, he kind of looks like a Brooks Brothers kind of a guy. You kind of give off that conservative vibe, Spencer, and, which is a good thing. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but I'm curious, did you have to disguise yourself? Did you, when you infiltrated the jam, the queer jam, did you have to go in disguise?
You know, I realized once I was there, maybe a little bit too late, that a collared polo shirt and slacks, you know, maybe wasn't the best outfit given the event. So I certainly stood out. Also because I'm 24, and I would say that basically everybody there was either 30s or 40s or 3 or 4. You know, there really was nobody in between that age range.
Wow.
So really, it started off with some of these songs that were being performed for children, that, you know, Baby Beluga, these very tame songs, the songs that I grew up with, but it very quickly morphed into something very, very different. And really the first thing that you actually see when you walk into this event was actually a drag makeover booth, where you had a grown man dressed in this almost skin tight green outfit with this pink shawl and a wig. And he's standing there, doing face painting, doing makeup for kids at a drag makeover booth. And you've got a line that's nearly, you know, going outside the venue. So it's all these parents who are bringing their kids there. And these kids aren't old enough to know what's going on. They really have no understanding of the political implications of any of this. You know, they're 4 or 5, younger in many cases. You know, so a lot of these kids looked uneasy and didn't appear to want to be there. But of course, it was their parents' choice to bring them there.
I think it's just the opening paragraph of your story is just so shocking. The battalion of strollers present in Chicago's Millennium Park on Sunday, alongside men in drag who went by names like Fabulous Freddy, was not an unfortunate coincidence. In fact, the day was designed to get as many toddlers in attendance as possible. You mentioned the parents. Can you describe them? Or, I mean, we see so many photos of like the blue haired people and all that kind of stuff. Were these normal looking moms and dads?
You know, there's a lot of stereotypes you might run into when you think about the people that might be going to these events. And these are people who are completely and totally in line with the mission. You could tell that by what they were wearing and by how they acted. And they were just thrilled to see the drag queens there. They were thrilled to see this dance lesson be taught to their children. They were loving it. They were eating it up. And it really made it quite clear that the parents were there for their own entertainment, for their own amusement. Maybe they think this is a moral activity. Maybe it's virtue signaling. But you could tell by how they acted, by what they were wearing, that they were truly, deeply committed to this mission, really celebrating Pride Month. And it was very, very apparent where they all stood.
Spencer, I'm curious, what was the point of all of this? I mean, was this about grooming and indoctrination?
You know, it was certainly aimed at children, and very clearly, very blatantly aimed at children. This isn't something where there was a pride event or a march and children happened to walk by on the street. This was telling people to bring their kids there. And something that really underscores that fact is that the very first performance of the day was from this individual named Jules Hoffman. Jules Hoffman is a woman who tries to go by these they-them pronouns. And she's really popular on a kids' YouTube channel that has nearly 10 million subscribers. It's called Miss Rachel. So they're bringing kids in. They're giving them content that they see online that is explicitly aimed at children. It's these educational videos. And then suddenly it morphs into men in drag wearing wigs, wearing tight clothing, dancing in front of children. We saw one that actually received a dollar bill from a child in the crowd and fell on the ground, spread his legs wide open right in front of a child. So it really was quite shocking to see how the day transformed from these relatively innocuous songs and performance at the very beginning of the day to just a few hours later, men in drag dancing in front of and even with children.
Spencer, what was your takeaway? Yeah, I mean, you've seen a lot of stuff. You've covered a lot of these kinds of stories. This is just insane.
One of the things that was really striking about the day is that people will watch the footage that we collected, or they'll hear this interview, and they'll see what it looked like, and they'll have very strong opinions about it, clearly. This is something that was actually supported with institutional support. You had corporate partners, Lululemon, chief among them. You had a number of local businesses that were also supporting this. But maybe most importantly, you had the mayor of Chicago. The city of Chicago actually supported this event, and the mayor of Chicago showed up to give his support, and he declared June as one of the most important months of the year because it is Queer Family Month, and he called it Pride Month as well, of course. So this is something that, despite how unpalatable this is to so many Americans, is receiving support from very powerful people and very powerful institutions like the city of Chicago.
Just stunning. And folks, head over to the Daily Wire and read Spencer's great work, What I Saw at Chicago's Queer Fam Pride Jam. Spencer, do they give you like counseling to them? I hope they're taking care of you at the Daily Wire, because the stuff they expose you to is insane. It's insane.
Oh, well, they take care of me very well. And, as long as these types of things are out happening, and I'm sure a lot more will happen this June, we'll be out there on the ground covering.
All right. Well, you're a great writer, Spencer. We followed your work for a long time, and you're a brave man as well. We appreciate you coming on the show today.
Thank you very much, Todd.
All right. Wow. There you go. And go and read Spencer's work. He is a great journalist, and you can follow him on social media, Twitter. Spencer Lindquist, LNDQST is the spelling there for Twitter. But again, this is all part of an effort to groom your kids. And when you've got events aimed at children 3 and 4 years old, and you're again spreading your legs and inviting children to slip dollar bills into your private parts, that used to be a crime in this country. Now that kind of behavior is actually celebrated. I want to go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926 if you want to weigh in on this. 901-260-5926. Chris in Maine, WLOB, our great affiliate there, wants to weigh in on the Houston T-shirt lady. All right, Chris, what do you got for us?
Well, I thought they said that all his trials were not political. So if it says free Trump, that shouldn't be political T-shirt.
Well, I think the mere mention of the fact that it is Trump, I think that's why they're saying this is all political.
Exactly.
I agree with you with that, but you know, they want it both ways. They want to say this whole thing is not political, but the liberals want to say, you know, if you support him, then you're being political.
Chris, what do you think they ought to do? What do you think Trump fans ought to do there in the Houston area?
Personally, I would boycott the Astros, but at very least, I'll call and flood them with their dissatisfaction.
All right, Chris, good call. Thank you for listening. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up at 5 o'clock this evening Eastern Time on Newsmax 2, The Todd Stern Show, we have a great lineup for you, including a live report from Normandy, France. Have you signed up for Newsmax Plus yet, folks? If you haven't, what are you waiting for? Newsmax 2, by the way, streams on all the big OTT platforms like Roku, Samsung, and Amazon. And I'm telling you, my show, it's the audience grows every single day. And so I just want to say thank you for watching the program. The big bosses at Newsmax, very happy with where we're going with the show. Newsmax Plus, the streaming service, you're going to be able to get all of your Newsmax shows, Rob, Greta, Greg, Salcedo, and, of course, Todd Starnes. NewsmaxPlus.com also covers all the Trump rallies. They even cover the rallies that Fox News will not cover. So check out NewsmaxPlus.com to register. You're going to be able to start a free trial today. It costs nothing to start. That's NewsmaxPlus.com. All right. Wow. Senator Tommy Tuberville confirming that President Biden fell asleep during the D-Day ceremony in Normandy, France today. Meanwhile, what is President Trump doing? He's on Trump Force One, heading to heading out west for a big campaign event, which, by the way, we will dip into during the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax later today. President Trump is literally taking calls from four D-Day heroes. And we're going to be posting this video. It'll be up in about 4 or 5 minutes on ToddStearns.com. The president, and it's all, we've got the video. And the gentleman, they were talking about how they were so honored, and Trump says, no, it is a real honor for me. And the president said, you take as much time as you want to talk. I have all the time in the world for you. Now, this, ladies and gentlemen, is a man who loves our military. He's a man who loves our veterans. And meanwhile, Joe Biden is taking a nap on stage, and he allegedly pooped himself. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Jerry, Arkansas, KWAM, our great affiliate. Hi, Jerry. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Todd, or good afternoon, I guess it is now. I realized while I was on hold, give me just a second. It seems like nobody's brought it up in the first 4 days. I'm not trying to blindside you or anything. But the last time there was an open slot, I got my wish when Chris Plant took it over. Is there any chance we're going to see you on the primetime Big Newsmax, sir? We love you.
Well, you're kind to say that. Thank you, Jerry. I don't know. The Newsmax team, they're great, and we have a great relationship with them. They're really happy with the show we're putting out on Newsmax 2, and we'll just have to wait and see how things progress.
Yeah, well, I don't know, but I assume that they want to keep everything before 9 p.m. Central live. That would make a long day for you, wouldn't it?
Well, I'm used to long days. I'm kind of like Trump in that aspect, Jerry. I only need about 3 or 4 hours of sleep, and I'm good to go. Give me 10 hours, and I'm bouncing off the walls.
That's awesome, sir. All right, good to hear. We'll be looking for you, potentially. I'm so sick of Republicans not having a backbone. Seems like the only Republicans in the House with any cojones at all are MTG and Bobbitt. I don't get it. That guy you had from South Carolina on, you know?
Ralph Norman.
He said all the right things. He said all the right things, but once I heard him say something, I'll forget the exact quote. He said it was, we need to be courageous and issue subpoenas. What good does issuing subpoenas do when they're ignored and you just sit on your hands? I never thought I'd say this, but I am so sick of people who walk the walk who talk the talk and don't walk the walk. Like Tom Cotton. Comer is now on the list. Jim Jordan. I never thought I'd say this about Jim Jordan. That congressman that you had on from South Carolina, he said all the right things like they do. But once he said something similar, I think it was, we need to be courageous and issue subpoenas. Everything after that, he might as well have just been like a peanut parent. Wah, 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 wah. Now, the way one of these guys could redeem themselves in my eyes, Comer was the head of that committee that Hunter dissed, right?
Okay.
And so is he not the one who could sign an arrest warrant?
No. No. That has to come through the Justice Department. So you could, now the House can find him in contempt. And by the way, we're supposedly getting a vote on Merrick Garland on a contempt of Congress charge. But then it goes right back to the Justice Department. So will the Justice Department do anything? And no, they won't. But that's not the point. The point is we need the Republicans in the House of Representatives to do their job. And this goes back to funding. Why did we not defund the Justice Department when we had the chance? And the argument is, well, if we shut down the government, then they're going to blame us for it. Well, you know what? Let the American people blame you. But I don't think they are. I think everybody sees through this, and they just want the Republicans to take a stand. Jerry, I got to run. I am super late for a break, but thank you for those very kind words. We love our partnership with Newsmax, and we'll see how things go down the road. Good people, though. All right, 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, coming up on Saturday, I'll be doing a book signing at the Books A Million in South Haven, Mississippi. That's for all of our KWAM and WTJS listeners. Come on by. You folks down in the Mississippi Delta, WNIX, come on up and hang out with us. It's going to be a lot of fun. 11 to 1 o'clock on Saturday at Books A Million in South Haven, Mississippi. All right, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We are so honored to have Mary Margaret Olihan with us. She is a senior reporter for the Daily Signal, and they're doing some great work these days. She has a brand new book out, and I think it's a very appropriate time for this kind of a book to launch. It's called D-Trans, True Stories of Escaping the Gender Ideology Cult. Mary Margaret, great to have you with us today.
So great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, congrats on the book. This is exciting, and what a perfect time for the book to launch, just right smack in the middle of Pride Month.
Yeah, we thought that was a good time for it to launch as well, and I was proud to say that this week I was one of the top LGBTQ authors on Amazon, so it's a great way to foray into Pride Month, we thought.
So let's talk about the book. You say that there have been reports of people who have been able to escape from this transgender movement.
Yes. So this book is based on the real reported stories of young men and women who tried to do the unthinkable. They tried to transition to become another gender. And then they realized after going through hormonal and surgical procedures that this was, in fact, impossible, since we know a man cannot become a woman and a woman cannot become a man. And these are young people who, they went on puberty blockers. They went on hormones. For the girls, they got double mastectomies. For the guys, they got more invasive procedures. And for all of them, there came a moment when they realized, oh, my gosh, I think that all of this has been a lie. And from there on out, they began detransitioning. And they ultimately made the choice to share their stories and to go public with their stories, which is incredibly brave and incredibly resilient of them, given that the transgender community very much vilifies and cruelly treats those who dissent from their narrative. So these are all people that I interviewed for this book, and I thought it was really important to share some of the very vulnerable and intimate moments of their lives so that people could understand what they have been through, because they've endured some really serious physical and mental suffering, and they thankfully live to tell the tale, and that's what they're doing.
Mary Margaret, I'm curious, when you're sitting down and you're talking to these individuals, what was your takeaway from these people? Are they victims?
That's a really interesting question. I would say yes, they are victims of the gender ideology cult. But at the same time, they're also warriors because they're fighting back and they're using their lived experiences to help other people understand what they have been through. And I think in a certain sense, they are the best people to be speaking out and talking about this because they actually know what it is like. And for many of these young people who are undergoing gender transitions or trying to undergo a gender transition, they're not going to listen to anyone, especially their parents. They're going to try and avoid all types of adult figures that are urging them not to do this because transgender advocates will tell them that anyone that dissents from this narrative hates them and wants them dead. And I think these detransitioners are perhaps one of the only voices that can reach a young person who's going through this because they lived it. They know exactly what that experience is like. And, you know, the left is all about empathy and telling stories. So they should be listening to these stories because they are real. And these young people did not deserve to be betrayed and to have their mental illnesses weaponized against them. And now that they know what they've been through and what happened and how these doctors treated them, they're the best person to be talking about it.
Mary Margaret Olihan is a senior reporter for the Daily Signal. Her new book, D-Trans, True Stories of Escaping the Gender Ideology Cult. Mary Margaret, what are some things that you would caution moms and dads to be aware of? Because it seems to me a lot of this is happening, right, when kids are younger, maybe in their tween and teenage years?
Yeah, so a lot of these young men and women first became exposed to gender ideology when they were a young teen. And I would say the number one thing that they had in common was social media. Social media is where all of these gender activists are finding them. It's where they're being exposed to really confusing depictions of masculinity and femininity. And I'm not even talking here about gender depictions necessarily. I'm talking about little girls going on Instagram and seeing all these very glamorous photos of women and thinking, I don't look anything like that. How am I supposed to match up to that? And then I'm talking about at the same time, these girls being exposed to hardcore pornography, which unfortunately is something that every child with a phone is ultimately going to get exposed to almost across the board. And so when you combine the fact that a lot of these kids are looking at these images of masculinity and femininity that confuse them, and they're also being exposed to hardcore pornography, this is a very confusing world for young people. They're trying to sort out what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman. And some of these depictions can be really off-putting and scary. And so, you know, it provides too fertile of a ground for these gender activists to come in and say, oh, you feel like you're not a girl because, you know, you don't like the depictions you saw of womanhood in pornography. Well, it's probably because you're not a girl, you're a guy. And, you know, that's something I don't think we talk enough about, is the fact that many young people nowadays are growing up in a world that's devoid of a sense of identity. It's devoid of a sense of purpose. A lot of kids nowadays don't really know why they're here. They don't know what they're on this earth for in the first place. And that could be in a religious context or just in a simple context of not understanding their family roots, not understanding why they should be proud of their parents. Maybe they aren't proud of their parents. Maybe their parents treat them really badly. But all of this is seriously affecting our kids. And they're very rootless, and that's encouraging them to go look for identity other places. And unfortunately, a lot of the time, what's happening is these gender activists are taking advantage of that and pushing these kids to think that they were born in the wrong body.
Well, you're just a terrific writer, and your reporting has just been some of the best in the country. And this is going to be a very important read for a lot of Americans, and especially moms and dads. Mary Margaret, before we let you go, I know you're a person of deep faith. What was that experience like for you personally? I mean, some of these stories must have been heartbreaking.
They were heartbreaking. And I'm not going to lie to you, Todd. This was a hard book to write, and it was very emotional for me. But I think that there's a lot of hope in it, in that these young people made it through, right? They ultimately realized that they had made the wrong decision. And they have found so much support and community in speaking out. And that's something that I try and remember in my reporting every day, is that my job is to shine light on the truth. And I believe that the truth will set us free. And I think that in helping to help people understand what these detransitioners have been through, it's going to help our society be more receptive and open to protecting the innocence of kids and helping to have a more family-oriented and loving culture. And I hope that we can reach that place.
All right. Well, Mary Margaret, we're going to leave it there. Congratulations. Look, it's tough writing a book, but now you get to get out there and see people's reactions to it, watch the reviews come in. So all the very best to you out on the book circuit.
Thank you so much.
All right. Mary Margaret Olihan, everybody, from the Daily Signal. Get that book, D-Trans, True Stories of Escaping the Gender Ideology Cult. All right. We've got to take a quick break here, and then we're going to your phone calls. And I'm curious, do any of you have family members who served in World War II? Maybe you had someone, a family member that served and was at Normandy Beach. I would love to hear from you in our next segment, 901-260-5926. I have to give a shout out to a good friend of this program, David Sitton, who works over at Chuck Hutton Toyota, and he's a listener of KWAM in Memphis. And he is just one of the most decent guys out there. And David posted a photograph of a gentleman who just purchased. He's an 82-year-old, or I'm going to read this to you. This is an 80-year-old rice farmer. His name is Bobby Higgins, and he drove over 100 miles from Newport, Arkansas, to trade in his Toyota Tacoma for a brand new Toyota Tacoma over at Chuck Hutton Toyota. Great patriots over there, by the way. And military vets. And anyway, Bobby, the 80-year-old farmer, asked David if he would program his radio dial. I love this. And so David made sure to program in 107.9 FM and 990 AM. Good for you, David. He said, America, and this is so true, America was made great with men who still use flip phones and have no email addresses and like to stay off the grid. That's Talk radio is for you. So I want to give a shout out to David Sitton and all the guys out there who still use flip phones, have no email address, and like to stay off the grid. And by the way, I met one of them, Dylan, at WSIC in our book signing, and the guy asked to get a photograph, and he pulls out that flip phone. And I'm like, I love you. That's awesome. All right, hang tight. We'll be right back. Caught me talking. I was catching up with my good friend Mary Walter, who has been filling in for Rita Cosby. And Mary, just an incredible human being and a terrific talk radio host. We love it when she fills in for us. All right, let's go to the phone lines. WTJS in Tennessee. Norma has been on hold. And Norma, I understand you have a story to share with us.
I certainly do. And thank you for taking my call. My dad was fought in World War II. I was 3 years old before I saw him. I'm trying not to get emotional.
That's all right.
And then he was one of the first Darby's Rangers, and he was a POW for 3 years from 1950 to 53. And then my husband did too. He was medevac in Vietnam. So I just want to thank you for letting me speak up for any veterans, all people who have fought for this country and love this country.
Well,
and what I plan on doing, if President Trump goes to jail, or if he doesn't go to jail, if I have the opportunity, I'm taking my dad's Distinguished Service Cross, his three Purple Hearts, his Bronze Star, and there's many more. But I am personally, if I live that long, taking him to Donald J. Trump.
Norma, that is so incredibly kind of you, and I know the president would give you a great big hug. He loves our veterans, and, you know, if this video, which, by the way, we had the video up on our website, and you can see President Trump talking with these D-Day heroes. But Norma, wow, what a wonderful story and what a great legacy. And we thank you for the sacrifice that you and your family made to keep all of us free here in the volunteer state. So God bless you, Norma.
Well, may I say one other thing, sir?
Sure.
I think it's a disgrace that Biden is even in Normandy. I'm sure those people, a lot of them, most of them are sitting there thinking, I don't know why you're here while you're still letting terrorists in our country. And I'm sure they're remembering those 13 beautiful young Marines that he murdered in Afghanistan. And thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am, Norma. You're a great lady. You give us a call back one of these days. And Norma's right, by the way. Biden also, he mentions Ukraine. This has nothing to do with, this is a D-Day ceremony. And fine, you're going to mention Ukraine. He doesn't even bother to mention Israel? Come on now. All right, let's go to Carol in Georgia. And Carol, I understand you have a story to share.
I had two uncles, one on either side of the family, and they didn't know each other. They were both in 82nd Airborne. My uncle Bob from Iowa got into Airborne because it was hazardous duty pay, an extra $25 a month. He went in on a glider and landed, well, fell, landed with his parachute, I guess, near St. Mary Glees, and escaped. He escaped prison camp, and he escaped the battle. They fought in that. My other uncle, actually from North Carolina, was in 82nd Airborne. They missed their drop zone and ended up behind the enemy lines, and he was hidden by a French family in the potato cellar for almost a week until the American forces could get close enough to where Uncle Dodd could make a run for it.
Wow. Now, who is your uncle there in North Carolina?
Donald Erb, E-R-B, Erb.
Wow. Well, we certainly honor your great family members, Carol, American patriots and heroes.
The rest of the boys in that era were all Navy and Marines. They were in the Pacific. So they did their part.
They certainly did. Carol, God bless you, and thank you for that call. And, you know, she mentioned that story, and it reminds me of my uncle, my other great uncle. His name was Brunson, and we called him Uncle Bunny. And Uncle Bunny served in the he was 17 years old when he enlisted, got his officer's commission and his pilot's wings in 43, and was assigned to the 364th Squadron, 305th Bombardment Group, based in England. And on October 14th, he took off on his eighth and final mission, which was a daylight bombing raid. They were over Schweinfurt, Germany. That was Black Thursday. And he was flying a B-17, one of the Flying Fortresses, the Lazy Baby, got heavily damaged, took a direct hit, and they were ordered to bail out by the pilot, the captain. So Uncle Bunny made his way to the escape hatch, and his parachute D-ring got snagged, and his chute opened while it was still inside the plane. So he literally had to just gather up the canopy, and then he had to jump out of the plane. This is my great-uncle, and Dylan, your great-great-uncle. And he landed, got captured by local farmers, and spent the rest of the war as a prisoner of war at Stalag Luft 3. And, of course, that was the site made famous by the movie The Great Escape. And Uncle Bunny was one of those guys. He was spreading the dirt from the tunnel, just like you saw in the movie. He came home after the war, and he was awarded the Bronze Air Medal. He was awarded a Purple Heart, and we just love our family members. And many of you have stories just like that. Of course, today, though, we are talking about D-Day and remembering this great generation. And I certainly hope that in our schools that they're teaching kids about the ultimate sacrifice that their great-grandparents made so that they could be free. And so anyway, we appreciate all of your great calls and your great stories today. If you missed any of them, you can go over to our website, toddstearns.com. You can download our podcast. We're going to continue the 80th anniversary celebration marking D-Day on The Todd Stearns Show. Newsmax 2, you can watch it on YouTube or Facebook. Also, all of the OTT platforms like Roku and Amazon. All right, folks, get out there. Be good, America.